You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Afternoon, whatever you want to call it. I am Matt Parrott. I'm going to be your surprise host today, and we have no co-host or guest today. It's going to be the Matt Parrott show here at the Daily Traditionalist today. Matthew Heidmark is on an adventure, and everybody I attempted to have co-host with me was not available. So we're going to have a good time, just you guys and me. We're going to cover some general news that's been going on, and then if we have some time towards the end there, I'll discuss some of the local stuff that's been going on here in my hometown. So first of all, the big thing happening right now is in Washington, D.C., the March for Life is gathering together. I don't know whether the numbers will turn out to be comparable to. I mean, I hope the numbers are actually superior to the women's the radical feminist march that happened last week. We'll just have to wait and find out on that. As we know, we won't be able to trust the mainstream media's numbers on it one way or another. The way they try to do the camera angles, the way they try to spin everything, they're so desperate for some kind of like triumphant narrative that they're willing to just outright lie. They're willing to show deceptive camera angles or whatever they need to do in order to create the illusion that there's this massive populist uprising against Trump, when the truth that we've all seen at his massive rallies and everything is that there's actually a massive populist uprising for Trump. And as he's actually had an opportunity to govern, you're seeing his approval ratings even going up with a lot of people who had voted for Hillary and stuff there in the middle. So, you know, they're going to do whatever they can. And one thing's clear about the first week of Trump's administration that we're just now wrapping up is, I guess it's officially exactly been a week right now, because we were doing the show live whenever he was inaugurated last week. So the big exciting thing there is he's been very rapidly passing executive orders, very rapidly pursuing his agenda. We shouldn't get too excited because there's still a lot of obstacles. There are going to be a lot of court challenges to what he's trying to do. There's the Republican Congress is going to thwart what he's trying to do. But I'm very confident that he'll bully his way through it. And we have a man who knows how to manage large, complex organizations. That's his specialization. They're saying, you know, he's got no experience in government, but being an executive leader is more similar to running a corporation than like Obama, who had only been like a token legislator very briefly in the Senate and everything, didn't have any idea how to run anything. He never run, you know, so much as a taco stand. So, and you saw that in his administration. He just didn't have the aptitude to achieve all this complex work and everything complex, like running the State Department stuff, he just passed off to Hillary and had very little input on. So it'll be interesting to demonstrate what competent government looks like for the first time in a long time. But at this March for Life, Mike Pence, turn the fruits into vegetables, Mike Pence, and Kellyanne Conway will actually be speaking at the March for Life, which is huge. Nice to see the presidency aligned with the right to life. Nice to see the women who aren't vapid feminists coming out to express their support for life, for not killing infants. They're not going to, you know, oppose a lot of the radical feminist agenda here. They're just here for life. But the implied subtext is that these are much better women. And you'll see from the video that Monster Within, Monster Without, as I believe it was Nishi who said, these women will be far better looking than the women we had last week. That's unsurprising. So our support for them, and be fun to watch the media try to smear them as the villains when they're the ones trying to protect children rather than kill them. And the next big news is Miami-Dade is the first sanctuary domino to fall, reported here by Slate. All across America, because Donald Trump is putting pressure on the whole sanctuary scam that's been going on for decades now, where municipalities pass these like laws saying that the police are not allowed to pass along immigration status information to the federal government, not allowed to enforce the law, because in those places, the places are so anti-American that they actively side with the invader. And Donald Trump is leveraging the federal government authority. And that's one thing you see here with Trump, is so much of what we've been told for decades under, including and especially under Bush, where it's too complicated, we can't do anything about it. Watching this kind of blitzkrieg that Trump is doing proves that we've been lied to by Congress this entire time. We've been lied to by both presidents, all the presidents, this entire time about what is and isn't possible. And they keep saying, like, you know, we can't afford a wall. It's too logistically complex, which is just totally asinine. The federal government repaves, completely restores, and rebuilds millions of miles of road all across America. There's no reason why we can't build a fence from Brownsburg to San Diego, much of which is already built. And they act like this is just, you know, well, we can't afford it. And all of a sudden we're budget hawks who are concerned about the budget deficit. When this is, you know, a drop in the bucket of the federal deficit. And if you look at the costs that the government incurs with allowing this invasion to continue, this saves money. And this is the only, you know, of all the things the government should be doing, protecting our borders is like one of the things it definitely should be doing. And if anybody wants to complain about the costs, just say, oh, you know, we're building a road between Brownsburg and San Diego. It just happens to be horizontal. So that's exciting to see that within the next few months, we're actually going to see the wall begin being constructed. All these obstacles we thought we had were proven to be illusory. And these sanctuary cities, one by one by one, will fall. There will be court challenges. There will be legislators who will fight it every step of the way, but we have the momentum. We have the authority. This is having a state legislation which says that the federal law can't be enforced on citizenship. It is clearly the courts are on our side, and thankfully the Supreme Court looks like it's going to be drifting in our favor too, as the elderly Skeksis retire or whatever. So, very exciting news. And as an old school white nationalist who's been around for well over a decade, it's so exciting to see forward motion on these key things that we've been talking about. I remember back in my Hoosier Nation days, maybe a couple listeners out there remember this. I attempted to pass illegal immigration legislation in Indiana. And while I'm very much a hardliner on a lot of these key issues, I do try to achieve practical legislative goals. You know, it's not a dichotomy between naming the Jew, being explicit about being a white nationalist, and also being willing to say, okay, here's where we're at. Let's try to move the ball a little bit forward. It's funny because everyone in Indiana wants illegal immigration under control. Just about everybody, except for the Chamber of Commerce lobby and all 14 Jews in the state and the large and growing illegal immigrant population in the major urban areas who don't even have a right to vote yet. So it should just have been a no-brainer. But as our group worked with the legislators who were willing to work with us, and our group tried to push that forward, It was actually the Republicans, and that's who it's going to be this time too. It's going to be the Republicans in Congress who try to obstruct this stuff, because they are just as much, if not more so, in the pockets of the corporate interests who are against enforcing our border rules, who are the most invested in the globalist financial network, which is imposing these global rules. So finally, with sort of a populist campaign, we were able to get it to the governor's office. The governor tried to waffle around, tried to come up with an excuse to veto it. And then once we overcame that with yet another populist push, then the Secretary of State said, oh, this is not, or the Attorney General, excuse me, said, oh, this is not constitutional. I hereby say, you know, it's not valid. It was totally constitutional. But the thing is, when you're trying to actually fight for your people, they allow you to play the democratic, the formal game. And then if you win the game, they step out from behind the curtain and knock over all your pieces. It's tremendously frustrating, and they might do that with Trump. I mean, they're trying to, how far they'll get with that. But what we do know is the whole thing's elevated and more visible. So we get to kind of see that same process play out at the national level, where you have a leader sincerely attempting to secure our borders and put America first. And the people who want to put America last, having to come out from behind the curtain and fight it. And you'll be surprised how many of them are actually Republicans, how many of them are actually from conservative districts who have, you know, misled their constituents into thinking that they're going to fight for them. At the end of the day, and that's where Trump's unique, is that Trump was able to get into the office without having to make all the promises to various lobbyists and legislators that most other politicians have to do. He's actually not beholden to them. And you're going to see Trump and the Republican Congress fighting viciously over the next few months, as you know, they're going to be crying about how he's being a tyrant and separation of powers, and how Congress should be able to decide their agenda. And Trump's going to bully them. You know, everybody complained about how Trump's a bully. That was a big thing. But we need a bully. We need a strong man. You know, we need a jerk. Sometimes you need a jerk. So we got one in Trump. So that's awesome. I know a lot of people are concerned about Trump's position on the Jewish question stuff. And, you know, I get that. And he's not all the way there. But, you know, we're moving the ball incrementally forward. And these things make a real difference in local communities, where you're going to see fewer illegal immigrants taking over neighborhoods. You're going to see, you know, fewer people even coming here to begin with, because the atmosphere's changed and the paperwork's gotten more complex. These countries like Somalia, where we just shouldn't be bringing anybody. There's no excuse for us to bring a Somalian over here. you know, God bless them over there, but this country does not need any Somalians, Somali immigrants whatsoever. So the next item here is Washington Post fake news yesterday. It went super viral about the mayhem at the State Department. The way Washington Post described it was that the entire leadership of the State Department was quitting in protest of Trump, because Trump's a maniac. If you look at the organizational flowchart, I'm kind of disappointed, because I actually hope this was the case. I hope that government agencies, you know, everybody was just quitting right and left, because what an opportunity for a fresh start to kind of purge those cucks out of these administrations. But unfortunately, it was more fake news from the disreputable Washington Post fake news website, where there were some people who were quitting, and even those people who were quitting were like stating that they were elderly and it was time to retire. A couple of them did say that they don't wish to serve under Trump, but even most of them were like people who came in under the Obama administration were clearly very political actors. So as much as I wish it was the case, unfortunately, the State Department is indeed one piece, and there's most of the employees and leadership is still there, unfortunately. So So you voted for the chaos candidate. You've got some chaos, but it's not quite as chaotic as the Washington Post would lead you to believe. And that's, I remember back whenever we all remember Jeb. He called Trump the chaos candidate, and he was absolutely right about that. Like, if you want more of the same, and that was Jeb's message that he choked to death on, was, you know, if you want more of the same, if you want, you know, basically a more intelligent version of my brother in office, here I am. And yeah, we see that that message landed flat. So the next item here, human pig hybrid created in the lab. I'm sure some of you have seen this article floating around. It really highlights the sort of bioethical challenges that we're going to be up against in the coming years, and how the global research community is entirely unprepared for dealing with this, how there's no process in place to ensure that they don't create human pig chimeras. Fortunately, in this case, this happened in a first world country, and they made a point to kill it while it was still in utero, which I guess that's unethical too, but there just has to be a line drawn. And a lot of these people who consider my abortion position irrational, it's I was actually opposed to abortion even back when I was an atheist, because when I was an atheist, I would debate in these chat rooms all the time. And what you realize is, if you don't firmly define where what human life is, where it begins and where it ends, you open up this can of ethical worms. That's a very slippery slope, especially given the technology that we're gaining access to, which is going to unleash a whole nightmare of, like, brainless humans who were created to be organ harvested, something out of like a dark dystopian sci-fi thing. You're going to have these different hybrids created, and you're going to have, I mean, I'm all for, like, organic, positive eugenics, where we arrive at common sense ways to sort of encourage the more fit folks to breed more, and offer gentle discouragements for people who aren't so fit to not breed so much. They're completely ethical approaches that take into account the very real dysgenic problems our society's facing. And you got this false dichotomy where, you know, you got to give up all your ethics in order to maximize your eugenic. And people don't understand that that won't end well for anybody. That won't, or at least for everybody, but the human pig gorilla nightmare hybrids rampaging through their neighborhoods, I guess. But for me, I know it's not really topical to the show as it were, but bioethics is something I waste way too much time thinking about, and this is deeply concerning that they're playing around with that. And they are correct that there could be some really exciting advances as far as being able to you know, create mice with this or that syndrome. Earlier this week, they created a monkey with autism. He immediately joined the Black Lives Matter protests, of course. But and then you can experiment on a monkey with autism to try to cure it. I hope they don't cure it, because I'm really excited about this whole alt-right phenomenon, and I hope it continues to grow. And if they cure autism, we'll be stopped dead in our tracks. But we've just really got to define what is human and protect the sanctity of human life. Because that protects us, that protects our race, that protects our families, that protects ourselves. And in lighter news, speaking of autistic monkeys, we got Shia LaBeouf was arrested earlier this week whenever he attacked one of our alt-right compadres who was at if you haven't heard yet, he set up this performance art camera thing where for 4 years, the idea is he's going to stand in front of a camera on a public street in New York City and shout, "He will not divide us." and you're invited to come up there and shout along with him. He will not divide us. And he, of course, is Donald Trump, who's trying to divide everybody. So with that, of course, that's a tremendous opportunity for lulls. You can go to the He Will Not Divide Us website and watch the live stream. And all kinds of image board trolls and just generic alt-right trolls have... there's one guy who came up and repeated the 14 words into the camera, and Shia chimped out. Shia's some kind of Jewish gypsy hybrid mess, some 23andMe oddity. But he definitely identifies to some degree as Jewish, and definitely thinks and behaves that way. He chipped out on that guy. There was another guy who came up and was like singing along with him, and Shia thought it was fun. And then he said Hitler did nothing wrong. And then Shia chimped out again, and finally chimped out on somebody on camera, and he actually got arrested for it. There's a photo of him crying at the police station because his He Will Not Divide Us attempt has failed miserably and become a joke. And now he's stuck in this situation where he's supposed to do it for 4 years. It was supposed to unify everybody. And there he is, responding with impotent rage at anybody who disagrees with him. I mean, if he thought ahead with it, he would have, like, debated with these people and confronted him and argued his point respectfully back and forth, used those as, like, an opportunity for dialogue. But that's not... these leftists, they're... Their idea of, like, unity is everybody submitting to them. And that's a beautiful segue into what I wanted to finally discuss, which is here in my hometown of Paoli. Over the past few months, there's been this Welcome Everyone campaign, okay? And it's response to the fact that I moved back to my hometown. And there were some news reports highlighting the fact that I lived in this town. Now, I'm from Paoli. My ancestors on all but one side, that other side was from Eastern Kentucky, have been here since Indiana actually had Indians in it. It has some new Indians in it who are in the IT industry, but there's pretty much no American Indians left in Indiana. Earliest records go back to like the 1820s, I believe. Been here a long time. Went to kindergarten here, elementary school, high school. This is very much as hometown as a hometown can be. So I moved back here to be with my hometown, to be with my family, to be with my high school friends, to just be a part of my community. And yeah, I'm not trying to, this isn't like a Craig Cobb style thing where I have a hostile approach to the town, or even where I'm really trying to engage politics in the town. I'm too busy with the national political work. I don't want that distraction. And I kept telling them that. I was like, if you guys leave me alone, I'm going to leave you alone. But there are these hyper-liberal, this hyper-liberal group in town that just wouldn't let it go. So they came up with this campaign of Welcome Everyone with a sign campaign. And you can drive around Paoli right now. In most of the store windows, there's a Welcome Everyone sticker. In like several of the yards, there are hundreds of Welcome Everyone signs. And those signs were explicitly set up in opposition to me and Heimbach being in the town. According to them, we're somehow implying that Paoli doesn't welcome everyone. So it's sort of a paradoxical thing. They're showing that they don't welcome us by putting up these welcome everyone signs. Now, a lot of these people who have the signs, because there are two approaches. There are two competing approaches within the Welcome Everyone community, with half of them being like, this is to confirm that Parrott and Heimbach are also welcome. But there's another half of that group who are like, this is very much a campaign to make Parrott and Heimbach uncomfortable and drive them out. And, you know, I've heard both voices, and you know, those people who are in that, who say that they're genuinely sincere about welcoming me, I'm listening. I hear that. I appreciate it. But at the same time, there's been this escalation with it, and the voices who are openly hostile to me, this sort of regressive left who, like Shia, wishes to confront an attack by any means necessary, including with violence if need be, as we saw with Richard Spencer, as we saw with Shia. These people will not tolerate dissent, and they don't, you know, they just can't handle, they just can't handle anybody disagreeing with us, with them. And anybody who disagrees with them is dividing everybody. And they don't realize how absurd that is, where I'm not trying to divide anybody. I just have my own opinions. I have my own political positions, and I don't have to agree with you to be united. Anyway, so after the sign campaign, I was like, okay, they got that out of their system and distanced Paley from me with that little thing. And that's fine. If Paley needs to have some distance from me to say that, you know, Matt Parrott's not the mayor of Paley. Paley doesn't even have a mayor. So whatever. If they need to do that, that's fine. So then it escalated up to passing this proclamation in town. The first version of the proclamation actually explicitly named the alt-right, and it was really goofy. I kind of hate it because I made fun of it on Facebook, and then they edited the version so it didn't contain the more hilarious elements. I wish that had actually been the one, because they came really close to actually kind of like outlawing the alt-right, which is, you know, absurd. The alt-right's not a political position. The alt-right's a subculture. You might as well like outlaw hippies or beatniks or whatever. It's not an actual, you know, it's not even real. So anyway, there I was, and I decided I was going to show up for that town council meeting. Watch this interesting thing play out, where, you know, how many people have an opportunity to witness their own hometown passing legislation against their political beliefs. Yeah, that's a real hallmark moment for an edgelord. At the town council meeting, it was filled with former school teachers. It was filled with former neighbors. It was filled with friends. It was filled with, you know, I immediately recognized half the people in the room, and they did this corny thing where each person reads a line. So these people would stand up, and it was odd, because they were very much the ones targeting and persecuting an individual, but this large cohort of leftist radicals acted as if they were sort of like on the side of like unity and justice and being a wonderful person or whatever. And yeah, with this very myopic belief that obviously I just somehow know my politics are evil, and I've just decided to be evil like a 90s cartoon villain or whatever. So they went through all that, and then I had an opportunity to speak immediately after them. And my message was, you know, the rumors that I'm going to go around threatening children, because I've actually had to actually deal with that, with like people being like, you know, I've heard that you're going to target minority children in town. And I'm like, where are you hearing that? So, you know, it's kind of exciting to be on the raw end of kind of a local folklore thing, where, and the rumors going around town that I'm, you know, setting up an elaborate Nazi compound, that I'm going to take over the town with Nazi terror. That's all kind of amusing, but you know, they're scaring people with their intemperate rhetoric. So I got an opportunity to kind of stand up, and I said, you know what? I'm not here to threaten anybody. I don't want to engage local politics in the town. Local politics in the town is engaging me. If you guys really feel like you need to pass this legislation because you think somebody thinks Paley is like an alternative right town, then go for it. I don't care. And they passed it. But then afterwards, the same group organized a radical feminist event on the square, and they didn't tell anybody that it was overtly pro-abortion. And so then they got in all kinds of trouble when I exposed that it was pro-abortion. And then we had this massive fight on social media, which they lost because I was honest about my politics and they were dishonest about their politics. And, you know, once the town saw that, they realized who is manipulating them, and they're fighting back. But anyway, maybe we can discuss more of this next week, or better yet, Matthew Heimbach will be back next week, and you won't have to hear me droning on. But either way, you guys have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much, and hail victory.
Tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.